now your Bible with you and would like to read along with us several scriptures that we intend to make reference to and read to you this evening. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 to start with, along with the message that we brought this morning, the thought that is, on the Lord coming again and our being ready. Verse 10 of 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in them shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. It's such a struggle for this old flesh to be what God would have it to be, to live, to act the way God wants us to. And the Bible teaches us that we should. And we get tired. We get tired of trying. We get tired of maintaining, let alone seeking to grow and increase in these things. We're always talking about never finding any rest, never being able to quite get into it and where that it we're satisfied with it. And I believe that we should be more concerned about this. What manner of persons ought we to be? Well, whatever manner of persons we ought to be, we most certainly can be. It tells us over in Titus that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to every one of us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, if we're not able to live for God, live the Christian life, and find rest and satisfaction in it, then we're not doing it properly. He said, I will give you rest. Where we shall be able to find it, because he will give it, as he has promised. We always say, I know what I should do, but I just find it so hard, or I just can't do it. We shouldn't say that. We should say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor fail thee. We have a wonderful promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Let us not forget it. Let's be lifted up and encouraged by it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Remember now, this is true. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able to withstand. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So this is a wonderful, precious promise. How it has blessed my soul. How many, many times I have realized it to be so. If it were not so, many of the temptations that the devil has thrown up before my face, I would have succumbed to. I would have failed to resist. I am so thankful that by the grace of God and because of this promise, I have been able to resist many of the temptations, enough of them, that I can still stand before you and preach the gospel and the word of God and hold up my head. And have the credibility that I need in your eyes, in your minds. I'm thankful that I can still look my wife in the face. I'm thankful that I still am not ashamed to go around my children, because that God has kept this promise. Now, it doesn't mean that we will not give in to temptation, but it means that we can never say we could not have resisted the temptation. By the grace of God, we can. He has never allowed us to be tempted more than we were able to resist. He has watched over us and protected us. But there is a greater promise. John's Gospel, chapter 10. What manner of persons ought we to be? Well, we have these promises that we can be all that God would be pleased for us to. In the Gospel now of John, chapter 10 and verse 27 and 28. Listen to these words. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a wonderful promise. What a blessed assurance. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one is going to get us out of the hand of our blessed Savior. The devil will never be able to do so. There are those who believe that he can, but they just plain do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, because he so plainly said, shall never perish, but is passed from death unto life. No man will be able ever to pluck them out of my hand. In chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, in verse 37, we find there Jesus preaching still. John 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Hear that blessed assurance again. Shall never perish. Not only can no man ever pluck us out of his hand, he will never cast us out either. So there's no way we can get out of his hand. We're his sheep, and we always and evermore shall be, because he will see to it. Because of his power. Going on there in chapter 6 and verse 37. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing. He said, even if I wanted to cast him out, I couldn't, because the Father doesn't want me to. All that he's given me, he said, I better keep. And I'm going to. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So, knowing these things, what manner of persons ought we to be? We should be everything, and we shouldn't be satisfied until we are everything that we know that God Almighty would have us to be. We should rather know in our hearts that we have him looking down upon us with pleasure and satisfaction, and not that we can look up to him without fear of shame and reproof. We should rather have those things than any material thing that we could ever consider or seek after or want in this world in life. The power of the God of the creation of the world is needed here. And that's the only thing that can keep us from perishing. What a foolish person it is that thinks for one minute that they have power within themselves not to sin and not to turn away from God and not to fail as his child. But in Jude 24, we are told there that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It takes the power of God, but we've got it. We've got it at our disposal. We've got it behind us, keeping us. And all around us. So, knowing these things, there is no prayer sincerely prayed that he is not able to answer. And if our prayer should be, and it really and truly is, Lord, make me what you would have me to be, he will answer that prayer. No prayer too hard for him to answer. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Listen to these precious words. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. The Lord said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In the 50th Psalm, he said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me, or I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, the angel said to Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. It takes the power of God to keep us saved, to save us in the first place, to keep us saved. And to take the power of God altogether to make us what we ought to be after that we're saved. And to keep us being what we ought to be. But it's there. We can be. I can be what God wants me to be. And I am not anywhere near that tonight, I must confess. I am a long way from what I once was. I believe I'm even farther along than I was a year ago. But I'll never be what God wants me to be until He gives me a new body and frees me from the presence and power of sin. He's already freed me from the consequence of sin and the penalty, but He hasn't freed me yet from the presence and the power of it, but He's given me power over it. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And so we can be what He wants us to be. There's no prayer too hard for Him to answer. And there's no problem too hard for Him to solve. A lot of people would say, I could be what God wanted me to be if it wasn't for this situation or that situation. There isn't any problem too hard for Him to solve. There isn't any problem too hard for Him to solve. Get that. Rejoice in that. Rest on that. Go to bed and go to sleep on that. This awful problem that I have on my heart and on my mind, it's not too big for my God. Therefore, He said, leave it with me and go to sleep. Rest. Come unto me. I will give you rest. It's there. Not only in the life to come, but it's there for now. It glorifies Him so much for us to turn it over to Him. Say, oh Lord, I can't do anything about this, but I believe You're going to. In Your own way and in Your own time. All you've got to do is stay awake until you figured out what you ought to be doing about it. And when you've done what you're supposed to do about it, then turn it over to God and rest. So many people keep begging the Lord to do something when they haven't yet done what they should do. That's where the trouble is most of the time. Oh, but there are no excuses or alibis. He's removed every one of them. All power is given unto me. They shall never perish. I'll not allow them to be tempted above that they are able. No prayer too hard for Him to answer. No problem too hard for Him to solve. He'll work them all out according to the counsel of His own will. And we shouldn't be disappointed over that. How many times, if there's anything we're going to have to answer for, if there's anything this preacher's going to have to answer for, when he stands before the Lord in glory, is being disappointed time and time again for what evidently was the will of God. I have to admit, I'm disappointed now. I have some heartaches and some sorrow now. And yet I know God's will must be done. And is surely being done. There isn't any problem too big for God. There's no difficulty too hard for Him to take care of. Everybody has to have problems. This life, the Bible tells us, is a few days and full of trouble. That man that is born of woman is born to trouble as sure as the sparks fly up. Stir the old fire. I used to love at night to fascinate me. Just stir the coals of the fire and see the sparks fly upward. And they disappear. They go out. They never fall downward. Man's born to trouble. Might as well accept it. But there isn't any problem, any trouble too big for the Lord to take care of. So remember this. There is no one too hard for the Lord to bring around. There's no one the Lord can't change. Oh, how we should rejoice. Many people say, oh, if it wasn't, you know, for this or that, or if the Lord had changed my husband, if the Lord had changed my folks, if the Lord had changed my children, just keep on praying for them and doing everything you're supposed to do. There isn't any of them he can't change. No one gone too far, he can't bring them back. There isn't anyone out of his reach or out of his power, or where his power can no longer deal with them. Keep praying for them. Just be sure that you're not helping them or encouraging them in their disobedience to God, so that you can stay on praying ground for them. Hebrews chapter 12 says, for whom he loveth, he will rebuke and chasten. He won't let them alone forever. He won't let them go on because he loved them too much. If they're saved, he got too much invested in them. He's got the life and blood of his son. He's got the agony of his own soul on Calvary when his son hung on Calvary. However, I don't know if that's the right way to express it, but I know God suffered there in his son on Calvary. He's got too much invested in any of us to let us go. None of his sheep are going to be lost forever. None of his sheep are going to wander away and stay gone without him looking for them, and without him seeking to bring him back. And he never tries to do anything that he doesn't do. So no one is too far away for the Lord, too hard for him to revive, too backslidden to be brought back. Just keep praying for him. Oh, look at all the encouragement we have. We can be what we ought to be. All of our problems God is more than able to take care of. All of our loved ones who have wandered away from the Lord, he can bring them back whenever it pleases him to. And there's no one too hard for God to save. You may say, they'll never change. Neither would you have, and neither would I, if God hadn't spoken to us, dealt with us, melted our stony hearts and our stubborn wills. Keep praying for anyone you know who is lost. Keep trying to have the right testimony before them and the right influence upon them. Keep yourself where you can pray. Get as close to God as you can. Live as righteous and holy and separate life as you can. Spend as much time in prayer and reading the Bible as you can, so that you can pray for them. They're not too hard for God to save. There isn't any rebel too hard for God to humble. There isn't a day or a night that we cannot get through by the grace of God and the help of God. I'm satisfied that the only thing that there is left to happen before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again . The only thing that can change and become any different will be the difficulty with which
we have to deal with in order to live for God. The difficulty we have to face. It's going to become, the devil hasn't used all his magic tricks up yet. It's going to get more and more hard to tell the difference between right and wrong, between what God would have us to do and a trick of the devil. You want to be careful of those things that seem to be good reasons and good excuses for going contrary to the plain teachings of the Word of God. You want to be careful. The devil will tempt you not with some terrible outlandish sin or some terrible outlandish doctrine. He won't tempt you to join a church that's far, far from the truth to try to deceive you and to believe in Christ. He's going to pick up his efforts are going to increase. He's been running to and fro, but as he knows his time is short, he's going to become ferocious. And he's going to be working at such a fast pace in all of his demons at a furious pace. We're going to find ourselves assaulted on every side at every turn. We're going to find temptation before us no matter where we go, places we never dreamed, never expected it. The devil's going to try somewhere or another to turn you from the truth and turn you from your faithfulness and turn you from trusting in the Lord and turn you from being able to pray. Get you out away from God. Get you out from the place of prayer and righteousness and out where you're vulnerable. Where you don't have the power to overcome it. Don't let him do it. Don't for any reason in the world not to save the life of your son or daughter to turn to the word of the Lord. Don't for any reason in this world not to save your house and home turn from serving the Lord. Don't for any, under any guise or pretense, allow the devil to turn you from the only hope that you have. And that's being hope to God. Serving him with truth and spirit. As we stand and sing tonight, you may be here without the knowledge in your heart that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. Maybe you've never realized that you are a sinner who's broken God's laws a thousand ways and who needs to confess that sin before Almighty God. Turn from it. Trust in Jesus as your Savior. All of you have prayed tonight that if there's one here who's lost without knowing Christ died for their sins, without even knowing themselves to be sinners enough to be doomed and damned, I'm going to stand before God's judgment. Pray that God would reveal those things to him now. Pray that he'd grant him conviction and repentance and faith. Pray that some precious soul be delivered from hell and torment, even now, this moment, by confessing their sin and receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Simple, childlike faith. By the power and grace of Almighty God. And if there's someone here that's saved, that's experienced this, that knows Christ died for them, and not yet started to live for him, don't you want to now? Just start living for him. By not being ashamed, confess your faith in him. You start living for him by being baptized into his church so your light can shine with the rest of those who have trusted him. You go on living for him who died for you by seeking to know the next thing he ought to do, and the next thing that he would want you to do, and all those things that you shouldn't do, those things that displease you. And as you continue to learn, you continue to grow more and more and more like the child of God should. How to live, how to act, how to talk, how to dress. God cares about all those things. Or you wouldn't be a loving father, would you? So as we sing and wait, that you need to come confess Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Don't put it off. Don't let the devil persuade you to wait. Do it tonight. If you need to be baptized, unite with the church, do it this very night. You've gotten away from the Lord and the truth. You need to get back as fast as you can. The devil's got you where he wants you, and he will mercilessly continue to beat you down. The only thing that can keep you from being able to is for you to run back to the Lord as hard as fast as you can. Back to church, where you can have this power.